If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. I'm your host, Brooke Monroe, and I'll be sharing bits of information each Wednesday morning on intuitive wellness, taking care of yourself and your spirituality, as well as ways to incorporate magic into your everyday life. My goal here on this podcast is to create content that centers my listeners and allows them to look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to check the description box to follow me and this podcast on social media. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Witchful Thinking Podcast for another episode. I have another surprise this week because I'm full of surprises because I am a magical bitch. But in addition to the new co-host, Rose, we also have my roommate and longtime friend, Taylor, joining us today. And I'm looking at her all adoringly and all creepy. But so, first of all, Taylor, say a little bit about yourself.
Well, hello. My name is Taylor. I do live with Brooke. Thank you.
Are you thanking me for living here?
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate it. I'm a student and drowning in grad school, but still trying to have fun in my life, and Brooke is a great source for that.
Oh,
so,
my God. Okay.
I was honored.
I didn't know you were in grad school, Taylor. What are you in grad school for?
I am in school for occupational therapy, and I'm almost done.
Oh, yeah. Cool. When do you graduate?
At the end of July, so...
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a smart bitch. She's up in here.
See the light.
No.
Yes, yes. Anyways, for today's episode, we are talking about auras. So just a quick disclaimer, we are actually kind of learning as we talk about it because we didn't do all of our research and we don't want to sit here and act like we are experts on things that we're not experts on. So if sometimes it sounds like we are just rambling, it's because we are. That's what you're listening for. So I'm just going to start this off being up front here. I'm just going to start this off by reading to you guys what Google's like technical definition of an aura is. So it's defined as a noun, and it also pops up. It says see definitions in occult and medical, which is weird. But yeah, so it comes up as the distinctive atmosphere or quality that seems to surround and be generated by a person, thing, or place. And then the second thing says, in spiritualism and some forms of alternative medicine, a supposed emanation surrounding the body of a living creature and regarded as an essential part of the individual. So I don't know about you guys, but I kind of always imagined auras to be like the outline of a person. Sort of, you know, like it outlines somebody, but from like pictures I've looked at, it kind of looks like a floating cloud. So I don't know.
Ooh, that's a cool way to think about it.
Yeah.
So I've always thought of an aura as a vibe, but I can associate the vibes with colors as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like there's a shit ton of colors, which we're going to get into, but we just thought we'd go through like a few things we found on the internet about it, because again, like we're not really sure. I've never done any aura work. I don't even know if that's a thing. Do you know if it is, Rose?
I think it is a thing. I think I think you can, because you can go have your aura read, and there are people who can do that for you, because some people probably think they can't read their own auras, or that maybe they're like, I just don't see it, damn it, and they need to go, you know, have somebody help them out. So I feel like aura work is a thing, and that's probably also a part of you can like metaphysical therapy, because you can have like crystal therapy and Reiki healing, and probably energy aura medicine. Work energy medicine, it probably falls within that category. I got into this recently, and I did a project in college, and it was what was it called? It was for a public speaking class, and I got to pick any topic I wanted. I just had to get up and speak in front of people. But it was color therapy, and so I've always been interested in how colors make me feel. But up until recently, I didn't really think about that there may be, you know, color light coming from my body, or however it works. And so we looked up a couple of articles on the internet, and one of the things I was curious about is, can everyone read them, or do you have to go have your aura read by somebody who was born with the gift of reading auras? But I think everyone has the possibility to read their aura. I think it just takes practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everyone can read vibes.
Everybody can feel and read energy. So I think everybody could read an aura with practice. And I think it's also about being open-minded, because at first, when I started getting into reading auras, or just trying to figure out my own aura, I was like, okay, so am I gonna like see the purple? Am I gonna see the yellow? And I really haven't seen the color itself, but I could feel it. And actually, when I saw my own aura, it was white. And I don't know if white is one of the colors. No, I don't think it is. I don't. Is it?
It might be. I think.
And I was like, well, hey, and actually you compared it to a cloud before.
Did I really?
And so at first, yeah. Was that, I don't know if it was on this podcast or if it was when we were talking before, but you just compared it to like seeing a cloud or something. And so I saw white and I was like, okay, maybe I'm doing this wrong, but I think it's probably just different for everybody. And
it probably also changes, like, you know, depending on what point of your life you're at too. And I think Taylor actually pulled up white auras. So what does a white aura mean?
So it says white energy can be found in highly spiritual people who have transcended the physical plane and are preparing to ascend. Ooh. Religious history claims white auras were seen surrounding angelic beings.
Rose, you're an angel.
I sound awesome.
That's so cool.
That's awesome. So I'll speak to the part about being skeptical about energy and auras, because I think from certain perspectives, especially when people are like, oh, like good vibes only, like it's very... can be seen as very cliche. However,
for sure.
So I read a book, and in that book, I found out that each of our cells are made up of 99.99999% energy and 0.0111% matter. So if you think about every cell in your body, and that most of it is not even physical content, how can you, I don't know, that just blew my mind. I was like, wow. So Like,
that is so cool. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you can't deny that. It's like, yeah, you can't. How can you deny?
It's science.
And that, it is.
Okay, science, Karen.
It is called Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza. So check it out.
But, oh, yes. I love a good book recommendation. Taylor always coming in hot with the book recommendations.
See, that's awesome. I need a book recommender in my life because I'm a chronic. I get like really into wanting to read books and I get like the first chapter in and then I'm like, okay, ready for the next one. And I never finish books. That's my biggest problem is I get halfway through books and I never finish them.
Dude, Taylor's your girl for books. Like we made an entire room in this house specifically for reading because.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. Like Taylor is fucking just with the books. Always just go to Taylor for all the books. Well, I'll find the book and link
book
it.
Recommendations.
Yes,
I'm you can girl. Have like you can have like a book and a plant library.
Oh, wait, why do we sound alike?
So cute.
When you said about like how everyone can't see them, but most people can feel them, I never even thought about the fact that like I have tried so hard to see an outline of color around people, and I've never been able. It, but I've always been able to be like that person feels purple to me, or like if I close my eyes, I think of yellow or whatever. So that's like, that's a really good point.
Yeah, I thought the same thing too when I first started getting into it and like wanting to see auras because I mean, how fucking cool would it be if we could just walk around and people are just surrounded by these colorful lights. I mean, the world would be so beautiful. It's already beautiful, but I mean, and then it'd also be super easy to be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to steer clear of that person in traffic because they don't look like they're going to say nice things to me if I tailgate them. So I think that would be so cool. But yeah, and I was like, maybe I'm doing it wrong. How does this work? But yeah, I think it's just different for everybody. There is one thing I'm interested in trying that is supposedly able to help you see the actual colors. You can get them on Amazon and they're called Aura Glasses.
So what?
Yeah. So of course you can get it on Amazon. Unfortunately, they're not the cutest. That's like my big downfall. If I'm gonna walk around town in these trying to see people's auras, they have to be like moderately cute, you know. But Glow Fix or Glow FX is a brand that I've heard about, and you can get them individually, you can get the whole set. So they have a colored pair of lenses for every color aura, and they're not. I don't think they protect your eyes from UV lights, so don't go staring in the sun if you purchase these and want to use them.
They look but, crazy. Hold them up. Oh my God.
Yeah. So they're I definitely would have been all over these in the eighth grade, but not anymore. And I really wanted the purple pair out because I'm not spending $100 on 20 pair of ugly sunglasses. It's not happening. But I think you can get a single pair for like $10 or $15. And I was like, oh, I'd be willing to try that. And I really wanted to get the purple pair. I don't know why. I was just being drawn to the purple pair. That's also my favorite color. So maybe that's why. But supposedly you can put these on and you can use them to do your own healing. So you can just like lay in bed with your lights on and use these glasses for color therapy, but then I've heard people trying to use them to read auras. But I don't know. I'm just so intrigued by it because wouldn't everybody's aura just be the color of glasses you picked that day?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, wouldn't everything in the whole life be tinted purple or yellow? Like,
whoever's aura was the color of the glasses, you saw nothing because you already are that color.
See, and this is why we need them. But they're hideous. They're hideous.
So this is, we weren't going to touch on this until later, but Rose, I have to tell you what just happened while you were talking about the glasses. So we were looking at the glasses And uh-huh. I've always thought of a certain color for you. Like, I've always, when I think of you, I think of a certain color. You uh-huh. said a certain color as Taylor was skipping by the glasses, and it landed on that color as you said it. And Taylor looked at me
no.
and, I looked at her, and I was like waving at her, just like.
And I was waving it.
Yes.
No.
We both.
Oh my God! Wait! Don't tell me yet.
We're not,
okay,
we're not
because I also think I know my aura color too.
I bet she does. Oh my God! Okay.
And maybe that's why I said those, because, well, I don't know. Okay, so. My favorite color is purple, but I do think that I have a purple aura.
Yes! Yes! God, okay. That was beautiful, man. I'm so glad we
That's
left that.
That's amazing. Yes. That is amazing.
And I've never met Rose, so
yeah.
That this was totally on
out of
talking
nowhere.
Talking to her in mm-hmm. the last, what, 40?
15 20 no. Oh yeah, we have been planning this
yeah
that's awesome. And I see, like, I think, I mean, I don't know, some people may say, well, your favorite color is purple, so of course you chose purple, but
there's a reason it's your favorite color.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
yeah I think we all kind of have a natural, I think we all have a permanent aura, and I think then there's like temporary auras. Obviously we get mad, we get sad, we get stressed out, we get super happy. So I think colors come and go, but I think everybody kind of has like a permanent aura, unless maybe, you know, you have this big change in your life and maybe you have a new permanent aura. But I think there's always a color that kind of follows you around. And I was, before the pandemic, I was going to have my aura photographed, which I recently learned was a thing. And I stumbled upon, probably while on Amazon looking at these aura glasses, and I ended up in a deep hole, a deep, deep hole. I found an aura photography camera. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. I want to try that. And it was $500. So no. No more aura photography camera for Rose. Not happening. But I live in a metropolitan area, and I was like, maybe somebody does this where I live. So I'll just Google it. And I Googled aura photography near me. And of course, like 20 people came up. I was like, oh, this is a thing. I didn't even realize that. And I found someone literally 5 minutes up the street from me. And I'm so sad that I had to cancel my appointment, but I've seen some of the photos in her portfolio and just her gallery. And there's usually multiple colors in these aura photos. And I pulled up her website. She describes, let's see here. She describes the photo as using a specialty camera that measures the electromagnetic field around your body. And with that, she can photograph your aura. The photograph maps your energy vibration, which is then analyzed and translated into the color vibration that corresponds with your energy level. And I was like, that makes, I mean, like, that's science.
Yeah.
That's just so cool. You know, it's sometimes it's hard to believe or jump on, what do people call it? Hoodoo or woo-doo or some kind of deal.
People call it woo, don't they? They call it like
woo, yeah.
Whatever the fuck.
Woo-woo. Yeah. You know, and some people, I can see how auras would be a hard thing to want to believe, because obviously we can't see them. But in these photos, some people have an entire color around them just engulfing them, and then some people have different colors on their different chakras. And she also describes that, like, sometimes people have one really strong color and there will be just peaks of color coming through, but it's very small, and so that color is obviously like your dominant aura. So you don't have to have just one, you can have colors for all your different chakras. And it was just so interesting to learn about sadly, I cannot have an aura camera.
But you're gonna get that reading when, I mean, you have to now whenever all of this.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But I think, wait, did you have a page pulled up that was like, I think Taylor had a page pulled up just now and it was like, does your aura change? How can it change over time? I think, in my opinion, yes, because there have been times in my life where I'm positive if I had my shit red, my aura would have been black because of depression or like dealing with, like, Rose, all the shit we went through in like 2014, 2015, I feel like both of our auras would have been speckled with gray and black and like, absolutely.
For sure. For sure. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Auras changing. It just touches on that everyone's energy changes over time. And that can probably be like, you know, little acute emotions, like you got really excited about something, or it could be more long-term, like you've been, you know, dreading something for a few weeks, or something happened and you're, you know, mourning that for a long period of time. So, and that's back to the energy part, you know, emotions are literally energy in motion, emotion. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that your colors can change based on what you're feeling.
Yes. And like, just, I don't know. It just blows my mind, those people who can, you know, make fun of stuff like this. But when we literally are not, it's like saying, like, do you like water? Because like, you better like water because we're 70% water.
Right.
Legit, like 70% water. But I think the next thing we wanted to talk about was animals sensing auras, because I think we all think they do.
This is some real shit.
It is. Animals, like we talked about in the last episode, Rose, like animals not liking people, like your cat did not like a ton of your boyfriends, did not like my ex-boyfriend. Like, animals can see and sense shit that we can't.
For sure. And I think it all goes back to energy. And if we can, I mean, animals can feel energy so much better, or I guess like on a higher level than we do, because, you know, before a thunderstorm, okay, remind me, is it a cow? Do cows like lay on the ground before a storm? Just because they can, because they can sense it. They can sense the energy moving through. And I think animals feel the same way about other animals too, because I take my dog on walks, and there are some dogs, I mean, like, we're obviously not socializing with anybody right now, but we like don't really know anybody in our apartment complex, and we'll walk past some dogs and my dog just wants to be their BFF. It is playtime. Thank you for bringing me a friend. And then there are some dogs that we walk past and she'll start going berserk, and then I have to like be that dog mom and discipline my dog in front of other people. Like, I feel like I'm that mom in the grocery store with the crying children. And she just, you know, she loses it. And so I think that they can like sense auras or vibes from like other animals too.
So going back to like the whole electromagnetic field of things, I know Taylor has a really interesting perspective/story about, was it a patient that you had?
Into it. Well, and we can circle back to the animals. Actually, let's stick with the animals real quick. I'll tell the story my experience living with So living with Brooke, this is the first time I've lived with cats. I've always had dogs growing up, but this is the first time.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know this was the first
time. I've never had cats. I've been allergic to cats. So I've like grown out of it. Thank goodness.
Okay.
Because your cats love my room. Your cats love my room. So Aria is, how would you describe her personality being her owner?
She's one of those cats that I don't think anyone will ever be her person, put it like that. She is a cat in every sense of the word, because she doesn't like being picked up. She only likes being touched under her chin. She eats all the food. She's very dominant, and she does what she wants, period. Mm-hmm. So
Is she not very, like, personified? I mean, like, I totally personify my cat. He's practically a human.
Oh, no, she has Aria. A
definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
My first experience with her, I was typing at Brooke's desk one morning. I got up early and was doing schoolwork. And she comes and, like, sits in my lap. And I'm just sitting carefully because I know her. And she's like... And I think I go to pet her, and it lasted for like 5 seconds, and then she like swatted at me and ran away or something. Anyways, she's very fickle and choosy about who she shares her affection with. Mm-hmm. But one thing I've noticed living here is that she is very, despite the kind of mood swings and attitude that she has about literally everything all the time, if someone is sad, like, I know I've seen it at least 2 or 3 times with Brooke, and I know that she's come to me a few times. Aria, the cat, has come to me a few times. But if someone's sad, she is right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she can smell it.
I love that.
And she's very gentle and just very present. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because it's like, that's not how she usually is. Like, she is not, and it's not one of those cats that it's like, oh, they're being cute and cuddly, and that's really sweet. And it's like, oh no, they're like that all the time. No, this cat is not.
Yeah, she's not.
But if she senses that something's up, I've definitely seen where she will come.
And the second that you cheer up, that bitch is gone. She's gone. Right. She runs away, and she bangs on Taylor's door. She hides under the bed. She sits in Taylor's stuff. Gets cat hair all over Taylor's stuff. Like. Literally, for the longest time, I was like, Taylor is not going to want to live here because my cats are so fucking annoying.
Like my
that is hilarious. I think my dog is like that. My cat is so attached to me that he's always sitting on my lap, and he's always following me around when I'm up walking. So no matter like how I'm feeling, my cat is literally probably touching me in some way, shape, or form. Or even my husband too, if we're sitting on the couch, because our two pets, I'm obviously my cat's human, and then Nathan is the dog's human. And if Nathan is giving Bingley affection, Lucy will like walk, you know, saunter on over to me because she's like, well, I'll just get love from someone else then. But they both like to sit in between us. And the cat will have, like, he will extend his paw out and, like, put it on your leg. Just, like, I feel you, human. I like you, human. I approve of you, human.
Your auras are probably, like, merged together at this point. Because that cat is always on your heels. Like, always.
Always. Yeah. Yeah. He's essentially just an extension of my body. Yeah, no. So... yeah, but my dog, I think my dog definitely, Nathan deals with chronic anxiety, and the dog for sure knows, and it's so sweet. But you can't see color, so that just proves it to you that you don't have to see a color. You can just feel auras, because supposedly dogs are colorblind, so they can't see auras.
Yeah, it's the energy. Just
yeah,
just vibes.
Did you wanna tell your electromagnetic story?
Oh yeah,
now?
Are we ready to go?
Oh yes. yeah.
Electromagnetic story.
So it's a realization I had, I think. So it's not like something crazy happened or anything like that. So during one of my clinical rotations at a skilled nursing facility, a new patient that I was gonna get to work with had just gotten a pacemaker put in their heart. And so a pacemaker, very simplified, is when your heart isn't beating the way that it should and it's causing issues, they go in and put a mechanical device in that will automatically beat what it's supposed to. And so for me, that means I need to know what their limitations are in therapy. So precautions, what I don't want to push them too hard, you know, because the thing's going to beat at the same rate. It doesn't elevate like our heart rates do.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's like if you are challenging them too much, it's just, it's overstimulating. So, and there's a bunch of worse things that can happen, but we're not here to talk about it. Anyways, so I was doing my research and figuring out what I needed to know. And one of the things I came across, and this is just one of those very small, casual things that is like seared into your memory because all the dots start connecting. So I read that someone with a pacemaker should not stand over an open hood of a running car because the electromagnetic fields can like mess things up, and it will mess up like,
oh my God.
Yeah. So that's one of the, and you know, there are certain things too, like we probably would think of as more normal, like MRI machine or, you know, even the microwave. We're cool with microwaves being like, oh gosh, it's going to fry your brain. Like we're cool with that. But the car thing, I don't know. It just caught my attention. I was like, I had never considered that. And anyway, so the point being that, you know, if a pacemaker is, it is a mechanical object, right? But it's in place of your heart, which is also an electromechanical object that is doing work in your body based on electrical impulses and chemicals. So my thought with that was, you know, if something like, something we wouldn't even think of, like a running engine of a car, can have a profound impact on the electromagnetic field that someone with a pacemaker has or is part of, that means like, what are the implications for someone who's feeling sad? Because a car is such a big, heavy object, mm-hmm. and like, you know, on a huge scale, like, why not?
That's crazy. I wonder if our auras change when we are in the car. Is it different?
That's,
you know, like, do I have a different aura when I'm standing in front of the microwave? That's so, I never even thought about that kind of stuff.
I
wonder if like
that being
it like amplifies it. So like when you're standing in front of the microwave and it feels like the longest 20 seconds of your life, ooh, it's because you're so hungry and your magnetic field is being amplified and you're just so beyond impatient because now you're starving.
And it gets a little more red because you're starting to get hangry.
But think about the fact, yeah, like, if you could affect a car like that, or a car could affect you like that, excuse me, what does that say about being in the same room as someone whose aura is totally fucked up? Like, whose energy is so, like, you know, just like, you know, two, obviously, when you lived, like, two women live together, your periods sync up. Taylor's and my periods are synced up. I swear her true period story caused my period to start 4 days early week. Like,
I apologize.
Oh, man, well, at least it's over now. If it wasn't for you, I'd be on it right now. All right,
TMI also.
But, like, I can feel from across the house when Taylor is sad. And I feel like she can tell when I'm sad, too. And just imagine on a, we love saying this, on a cellular level.
Oh, that's been coming up. That's
such a buzzword. On a cellular level, though, for real, if something like a car and a person, the waves can interact like that, just imagine just two people sitting here. Like, Taylor's sitting here fucking vibing off of me right now, probably, and I'm vibing right off her. Come on, girl, you want some of my safe?
You know, I didn't even, so the, probably the area of my life, which is, it's so weird that I have felt the strongest auras, which I actually used to think was claustrophobia, was in an elevator when you're crammed in there with, I mean, packed, ooh, full of people. And I obviously am not getting in elevators packed full of people right now, but typically when I go and I work at my desk job in the office with other human beings, you know, everybody's coming in at the same time. Everybody's coming in to work at 8. Everybody's leaving at 5. And I work on the 7th floor of a building that has, we have like 17 floors. So at the beginning of the day, everybody's cramming in and we're going up. And And then at the end of the day, by the time the elevator has gotten to my floor, it's already full with people from the floors above me. So I'm always in these crammed elevators. And I seriously get on those elevators, and it's not every time, but there are times that I can't breathe. Mm-hmm. Oh. And I used to think that it was claustrophobia, and maybe it is a little bit, but also I've never been claustrophobic, and I actually kind of like tight spaces. Mm-hmm. And I always just found it so weird. And a couple months ago, I realized, I was like, I'm probably feeling everybody's stressful energy on this elevator, because everybody's talking about, oh, we're going to have to let Susan go today. And, you know, I mean, I can like hear all these conversations, and sometimes I don't even have to hear them. Like sometimes I can see two people looking at each other, and, you know, like they're not having a good day. And I think it's just feeling everyone's energy. And sometimes it's so bad that I can't breathe on the elevator. Mm-hmm. And I got 7 floors to go up or down. So that's a long time to not breathe.
That just made me think about, so the elevator and like the context of that being like a workplace versus something like an amusement park
where
where you're standing in line, you know, when you get right up on the roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like, if you look at how it looks, it's kind of the same, but the emotion and the energy are different because it's not the work stress kind of thing. Like I know the feeling you're talking about being in the elevator and that like heavy.
Yes. Yeah. It's so heavy.
But I feel like I don't feel that. And maybe you're right. Like some of the claustrophobic stuff, it is a tighter space, but being cramped to so many people, like in a place like an amusement park or like something else where it's not such tense energy.
Mm-hmm. Right. I can only imagine like when you're at the front of the line for a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And everybody is like pumping mega adrenaline. And everybody's like feeling that off of each other, you know? And when I am in line, sadly, I don't have fun amusement parks here like you guys do in Virginia. Are just kind of lame. But when I lived in Virginia and I would like go to King's Dominion, and my favorite roller coaster is like also my most feared roller coaster. Like it's the scariest, but that's why I love it.
Which one?
Is it like 360 or
the 3? Intimidator?
Intimidator, yes. The Intimidator 360.
The one you black out.
Yes, yeah, that one. And like when I'm waiting in line, I'm like so nervous. And when you get, you know, you're like next in line, that next roller coaster is yours, and you like feel totally different. And probably for some people it might be reversed. It might be like you're totally fine, and then you're like waiting in line and it's now your turn, and now you're freaking out, and you can pick up on all of the feelings that everybody else has because you're being crammed into such a tight little space together.
That makes it interesting. Think of like all the different places where you can guess that pretty much everyone's aura is on the same level, like a funeral.
Yeah.
Or like, a wedding would be interesting because you know there's people who are like, I don't really even like the bride. I just came
from right. Oh,
that would be.
True. Oh, shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. That's I did want to, before we closed out, I don't know if we want to touch on each one of these or just kind of list them off. And if all three of us have something to say about it, we can. But Rose, you put down on the note that there's layers. So I looked up what are the layers of auras, and there are 7. I didn't even know that there were 7. And honestly, if you guys want to look this up, I will link this. I'll link this page for you. But just to list them off, there's physical, emotional, mental, astral, etheric, celestial, and causal. So that's a shit ton of layers. How the hell are you supposed to cleanse your aura when you have 7 layers of aura to cleanse? Which also goes back into aligning your chakras, which I probably never master in my life. I'm not even going to lie. But how do you cleanse?
You probably have to shed a few tears when you cut an onion, honey.
God. Like how?
I think they are somewhat just by the brief research and Googling that I've done, it kind of seems like, I don't know how many chakras there are, but it kind of seems like the layers are somewhat tied to the chakras.
I think there's seven. Oh, there's seven. Yeah, we have a chart pulled up and there's seven and they all line up with the aura colors as well. So.
Oh, okay. So it's just like tying everything together.
It's like one big rainbow. We're all rainbow joy here. And then I think, I had read something about cleansing. So I personally think that right now is a great time for people to be cleansing their auras if you're home alone, because no one but you can affect what, well, no, not, not, well, not, n- nothing can't not affect shit. No other person in like physical being, if you are alone right now, no personal actual being can affect your aura if you're home alone. And I feel like it would be a great time to do some research about how to cleanse your aura and get rid of any like past negativities. If you feel like your aura is kind of dark lately, or you know, even black, like it would be a good time to do some cleansing rituals. So I don't know, did you like look any up? Because all I found was like saging and like some chakra balancing meditation and some sound therapy, which they sound great, but did you find anything else?
So I found those, and then a couple other things are maybe the things like you don't need a physical item for, so you don't necessarily need to burn, you know, have sage to clear or cleanse your aura. I think so. You can definitely use meditation and positive affirmations, but I think you can also just visualize it. So you can just imagine yourself cleaning. Oh, also clean your damn aura. Let me take a shower. Just do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just do it. All you have to do, it's visualizing. So just visualize you're washing all the dirt and the grime, the stress, and you know, whatever you're trying to cleanse yourself of. Just imagine like when you're using your loofah or whatever, you're scrubbing it away, just imagine it washing down the drain with water. And I think that's something like when I wash my hands, which I'm doing a lot of right now, I kind of like to, that's how I wash my hands for 20 seconds. I imagine that not only am I washing the coronavirus away, but I'm washing all the bad energy away too, because there's so much negativity happening right now. And you know, it's so easy to literally have any kind of media, the radio, cable, if you still have that, YouTube, social media, you know, I mean, it's everywhere. And sometimes you just feel like you're being swarmed with negativity. And so I don't think you have to have anything. I think you can just visualize cleansing your aura, and you just have to, I don't know, what would you say? I mean, you have to believe.
You have to believe.
I don't know. I don't know if you have to believe for that to work.
I mean,
I would say.
And
then there's also like physically going to an energy healer, and you can like have, you know, I don't think you have to pay $80 to have your aura cleansed though. It'd be cool to try it one time, but.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be a cool gift for somebody, but I don't really know if I wanna. I'd be like, you know what? I think I'm more than capable of.
I'm way too fucked up. I don't have the money to pay for somebody to.
I'd be like, this is just going to be my first session. I'm coming back next week for another one, and you can dig deep in there, bitch.
Right. And be like, in 24 hours, this will need to be fixed again. So.
In 24 hours. I really hope that you do go to.
Oh, I am. I am for sure.
Because for I would sure. be really interested to see if it shows up purple or indigo.
I think
the color for
In a future podcast. we'll have to bring it up and tie it back to this one, but for sure.
Yeah,
I'm definitely gonna have that done, and we'll see if it's purple.
We have to see if there's anybody like that around here, Taylor. I'd like to see what color. Wait, you totally should.
Okay, so you didn't
get to guess Taylor, so we guessed you.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so, and I think that I could probably make a pretty good assumption even after, like, this 45 minutes. So, I think, okay, I'm definitely getting, okay, Brooke, do you,
yeah,
don't say it yet, but do you have, I want to see if what I guess is kind of what you envision Taylor's aura as. So, do you have a color you kind of, or an aura that you kind of think she has?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I
do. So, honestly, I'm feeling like you're a multicolor girl. Like, I don't just feel one. Mm-hmm. I feel like blue and yellow.
God!
Whoa. What?
I keep forgetting she can't, like, see us.
No, I can't.
God, by the way, guys, we record these via Zoom because Rose does not live in Virginia and Taylor and I live together. So if the audio is ever spotty, we're on Zoom. But anyways, holy shit.
What?
You said blue and yellow, and those were the two I was trying to pick between. I'm not even kidding.
No. Oh my God.
Yes.
That's great. See? You see? Yeah.
So it's okay.
And see, I couldn't pick the two either. So, and I don't, because you don't have to have just one. I think she's distinctively two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. We have to.
That's crazy.
We have to like read more about that. Like what? We have to look into like, you know, the like a long like these have the page we were looking at has like tiny little descriptions of like what each color meant, but which I'll link in the description box as well if you guys are interested. But, I would be interested to see like full descriptions of a mixed aura, or like, you know, if you have purple and orange, like those are, first of all, those are two totally different colors in the color wheel, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're opposite. They're complementary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and we didn't even, so we started this conversation while we were planning just before the podcast, and Taylor and I, so I told Brooke I feel like she has a green aura, and I didn't even know that Taylor had already said, mm-hmm. like,
oh yeah,
I wasn't even like on the phone yet that Brooke had a green aura.
Yeah, Taylor told me that like days ago. Yeah, because I was trying on my friend's, I'm a bridesmaid in my friend's wedding, and the dresses are sage, and Taylor was like, oh, that's the color of your aura, and I was like, damn, I've never been more proud of a green dress. What does,
see, that's crazy.
Look that up really quick and see, like, what does that say? You have a chart? Hold on. Okay. Green, enthusiastic, optimistic, growth, and balance. I will take that. I'll snatch my aura. Thank you very much.
Blue says, calm, intuitive, healing, and teacher. I am in a healing profession. I do teach patients and their families.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten the feedback from my clinical experiences that I have a very calm demeanor and very calm.
You totally do.
And I thought that was just the best compliment ever, because that's how I want people to feel.
Yeah.
When they're in therapy. Like,
for real.
Yeah. And that was blue. And then, I mean, I'm looking at a very, like, the webpage that I'm looking at has three adjectives for each color. So it's very, very brief. But yellow is creative, relaxed, and friendly. And then blue, it says intuitive, spiritual, and free thinker. And I mean, I would have no idea if you're intuitive or spiritual or free thinking,
right,
just based off the conversation that we've had, but like I feel that from you.
That's so interesting. And read the purple for and her.
Purple is visionary, spiritual, dreamer, psychic.
Ooh,
I'm a fucking psychic.
And that's also the third chakra color associated with it. So you are out here aligned, stunting on these hoes.
The webpage I'm looking at says wise, intellectual, and independent for purple.
That is,
I'll take that.
I think I probably did say that you reminded me of a cloud. I would say white and purple for you because purple, I don't know why, but I will always associate purple with you, like point blank, but also white because I remember the period where you switched your aesthetic in your room from being very bright, very deep, rich colors like purple, and then you went all white and you did like
I did.
Color. Yeah. So
yeah. Purple, everything was white. Yeah. And with so I went all white, like I painted the walls white, all my furniture was white, I wanted a white bedspread. Everything, which ended up being a really bad idea, as much as I love that aesthetic, can't do it with pets or myself because I like mac and cheese and everything would just be yellow. But I did that because I wanted to like almost be, I wanted my bedroom at least to be like an art gallery because my paintings are kind of like, I mean, they're super colorful and I would say they're, I mean, some of them are kind of psychedelic slash
big girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I wanted all of those paintings to like pop. So it's like I did switch. I forgot that. Yeah, you saw my bedroom before I switched to making it all white.
God, and mine was painted bright red. Jesus, Taylor.
Oh, God. That took 6 days to paint.
And we got it on the ceiling.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody hungry that came in there because it was red. Right? And all you wanted to do was eat. And
yeah. Oh, also, I don't know if this has anything to do with it. Really quick, what was the color of your childhood bedroom?
Purple.
Mine was purple, too.
Mine was purple, too.
Get out!
Yeah. Wait. That's crazy. I've always, like, sometimes I think that auras and, like, favorite colors and stuff like that kind of can sometimes come from your childhood bedroom, but that's because mine was purple. But that's crazy that all of ours were purple.
My mom picked the color for that one, and when I got my own opinion, I did blue and neon green.
Oh my God, laugh.
Whoa, that's crazy.
And Taylor's wearing a purple shirt right now.
Oh my God, I'm wearing a white shirt.
What's mine, black? Oh, I forgot what color I was wearing.
I have that minimalist wardrobe though.
I do, I really do.
Brooke is just sticking with her aesthetic.
Yes, black and gray.
I will stick with my aesthetic. I love color. Yeah. We know the cluster fuck that my old green style used to be, but I've since switched and I enjoy some nice calming grays and blacks. That's another, oh my God, we could have gone on about this for 2 hours, but that is another thing.
Right.
Does your aura color affect what you like? Can your clothes affect your aura color? Because like I prefer to wear lots of blacks and neutrals and like, but
oh, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. There are colors I won't wear. I mean, mm-hmm. I say it's not my aesthetic, and it's also partially because I don't think some colors look good on my skin tone, but I kind of stick to neutrals, and then if I do wear a color, it's purple or blue, and like those are kind of the only two colors I wear.
And I avoid yellow and orange.
I avoid yellow, orange, green, pink.
Yeah. We're some neutral bitches up in here. Can you imagine if we all three lived in a house together? Ah, nice, cozy, warm, neutral.
Right? Well, do we want to
pull a card?
Let's pull a card.
We're going to try and do this at the end of every episode. If we don't run out of time, we're gonna have someone or both of us pull a card. So Liz is gonna pull. What deck are you using?
I am using the Mystic Mondays tarot deck.
I know exactly which one that is. Is it a light blue box?
No, it's a black box, and all of the cards are black, but they're super artsy and very, and it just gives me very like minimalistic graphic design type of vibes. And I picked it because I was just drawn to the art. Are you ready for some card shuffling ASMR? I really hope this comes off cool.
Oh, yeah.
That was quick.
I freaking love shuffling cards. Okay. Do it one more time. I'm going to pick a card. So I have two ways of picking cards. I really hope that sounds cool. Okay. So when I shuffle, sometimes a card literally just jumps out of the deck and I'm like, that's it.
That's what we do. Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'll sit there shuffling and shuffling and shuffling. And it's almost like no matter how sloppily I shuffle, like one won't jump out. So I will, as I just said, that one jumped out. So I'm going to pick that one. That was kind of weird. But then sometimes I'll also just like spread them out on my bed or on the floor. And I'll just kind of look at them for a minute and just pick one that I'm drawn to if one doesn't jump out at me. But I really like when they jump out at me.
Yeah, same.
Okay. The one that jumped out of the deck is the Nine of Pentacles. And that...
Drum roll.
That... Okay, Nine of Pentacles.
Get us some money.
Yeah, right? Okay. Oh, shit, you guys.
Okay, what?
So, the book that comes with Mystic Monday's Tarot, also, just like the webpage I just had that had like three adjectives to describe it. So I'll read the description, but it also has three descriptor words at the top. And the first one is true colors. I'm not joking.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy? Okay, so I'm going to read it. So Nine of Pentacles says, indulge yourself. You deserve it. Your hard work is paying off and you are now reaping the rewards. You feel at ease with your financial status, income, and schedule. Live loud with luxury, allowing yourself to enjoy the abundance that you've created. It is now time to celebrate and treat yourself, whether it's buying that item you've had your eye on or giving yourself time to rest. By staying true to yourself and your vision, you are improving the quality of your life. Show your true colors by saying yes to your independent spirit, the creations you are bringing forth into this world. Was there supposed to be a comma there? I don't know.
Dude, we're looking at the card online and it has all of the colors of each of our...
I was thinking...
Isn't that crazy?
It's the peacock, right?
Yeah, it's the peacock.
Yes!
All of our aura colors are in there. That is...
That
what the fuck?
Is crazy. And I like that. I mean, because obviously... You know, you don't always have to, the description, the card means what it means to you. So it's, you know, you don't always have to just like take the description to a T. But what really stood out to me, at least, was treating yourself. And if treating yourself is rest, then treat yourself to rest. Because at least for me, like sometimes I feel like I've just been so busy or there's so many things to think about and there's so many crazy things happening. And sometimes you feel like you can't stop, you have to like go and hustle, but treating yourself to rest is something that resonated with me.
I love that.
And the true colors, because like that's what our podcast is about today.
I might have to name the episode True Colors. All about aura. Like, okay, we'll come up with this title.
Yeah.
But yeah. Wow. I'm so glad that we all had this little conversation together. This was amazing.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh my God, I'm gonna keep inviting you. Are you kidding me?
now you're stuck here because you live with Brooke and you have no option but
can't leave the house.
Yeah. Oh, well, guys, I will put all the links to websites we talked about in the book that Taylor mentioned and anything else, if I remember, in the description box. But before I go, don't forget, I actually just made an Instagram for the Witchful Thinking Podcast, and that's in the description box too. So make sure you follow that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening. And we will talk with you next week. Everyone can say bye.
BRB.